up to the fourth perek of the Shar of Avodas HaElokim. We're still discussing the idea or the way in which a person is supposed to serve Hashem. Okay, so the Chovas HaLevavos says here, V'ro'i lanu levayer tzuras ha'ara ha'toria, v'chelke ha'tora, malos anshe ha'chachmos schunasam, v'emunasam ba, v'kabbalah samosa. So basically, we have to explain how it is that the Torah affects us, the different levels of the Torah, the different aspects and the different components and characteristics, and how it is that we can come to believe in the Torah. V'omar, ki ha'ara ha'toria, hi chazon me'is ha'elokim, al yidei ish mibnei adam, b'mashu tov be'enov mehem me'avodaso, l'gamlam al kabbalaso gemol ba'olam hazeu ve'olam haba chesed unedava v'tova. The idea of the Torah, this actually is very relevant to Shavuos, actually, that the Torah being a revelation, being something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us in Har Sinai, and he gave it to us through Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what Hashem Bedavka set it up in that way, that he should that as human beings we should be able to understand the Torah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his chesed gave us the Torah in that we should be able to accept it and understand it in Olam Hazeh. There are really three major categories of Torah that Torah breaks down into. There are tzivuyim, right? Tzivuyim are the commandments, right? The mitzvos. There are azharos, which are like the averos, the isurim, the things that we're not allowed to do. And then you have the mutter, things that are permissible. You don't have to do them, but you can. They're not us. So now he explains how this breaks down. There are two categories of mitzvos that a person is obligated to do. Echad mehem mitzvos halavavos, v'hem advarim asher yitachnu be'emunas halev v'yichod hakel, v'hiyos halev shalem imo, v'toach halav, v'himaseri lav, v'ritzos b'gzeraso, v'ha'amein b'neviyavu v'soraso, v'yiroso, v'shmor mitzvosav, v'ha'machashava b'fliosav, v'ha'bechina v'tovosav, v'ha'ar mikozem imas she'yerach sipura. The first category of mitzvos is what he refers to as the mitzvos, or the chovos halavavos, like the name of the sefer, right? The mitzvos that relate to your heart. What does that mean exactly? What mitzvos do we do that relate to our heart? So there are a lot of mitzvos that we do that relate to our heart. For example, believing that Hashem is Echad, that Hashem is one. Believing that, you know, believing in Hashem with all of your, putting all of your faith in Hashem, trusting in Him, giving yourself over to Hashem, accepting His decrees even when you don't understand them, believing in the Nevi'im, having Yiras Shamayim, right, keeping the mitzvos, right, and also thinking about all the wondrous actions that Hashem does and all the good that He does for us. So those are what we refer to as chovos halavavos, obligations that relate to the heart. On the other hand, he says, "V'hasheni mitzvos halavavos vo ha'ivarim yachdos, v'yichod halashonim halev, u'kriyas sefer ha'torah v'limudo, v'hatfila, v'hatzom, v'hatzedaka, v'hashevisa minamasim, v'hashabasos uv'amodim, v'asos sukkah, v'lula v'tzitzis, v'hadom elazeh." On the other hand, we have what are called chovos ha'ivarim. We have obligations that are not just in our heart. We have obligations that are not just about the way that we think, but they're also actual mitzvos that we perform with our bodies, right? We have to daven, we have to put on tefillin, we have to learn, we have to give tzedakah, we have to fast sometimes, we have to not do malacha on Shabbos and Yontif, we have to build a sukkah, take a lulav, right? All these things that we do are known as chovos ha'ivarim. Those are obligations that relate to the body. Those are things that we do physically as opposed to things like Yerushamayim and Avas Hashem, which are chovos ha'ivarim. Okay, the Azara Mischalek is Gamkin L'Shnei Chalek. Now remember, there was a second category, the Azharos, the prohibitions, the Isurim. Those also break down into two categories. Echad Mehem Chovos Halavavos, Hasheni Chovos HaEvarim. It breaks down into the same two categories that we mentioned before. So he explains. The Azara Shebechovos Halavavos, Kashituf, Im Habore Baseser, Vahachonet, Vahavas Asos Mashehizir Akel Milasoso, Vahagaiva, Vahagova, Vahagon, Uvazos Bene Adam, Bela Ogla Nefim, Vala Tvarim, Haboy, Maha Elokim, Halu Shonam, Umos Batova Anashov, Umitso Korasuach Bamirayim, Bahakina, Bahachemda, Vahavas Arail of Neadam, Eskati Fogzir Sabori Vaharbi Chazet. So, an example of Chovos HaLevavos, of things that relate to our heart, that would pertain to Averos, would be, for example, a person who doesn't believe in Hashem, a person who believes that there are multiple gods, a person who has arrogance, a person who embarrasses other people, right? Again, all of these different, basically, it's almost like, I would put it in a simple way, it's almost like having bad midos, really. Either bad midos or having a certain chisar, a certain lack in your emunah, Those are all things that are chovos halavavos in the realm of aviros. On the other hand, chovos ha'ivarim, hamudr mehen, hashitus, and mabori v'agalui, ushru ha'sheker, v'ha'kazav, v'ha'rechivus, v'ha'chilas ha'aser, v'ha'vi'ilus ha'asudos, ushrichus damen, v'ha'rebechazeh. And on the other hand, the chovos ha'ivarim, the physical obligations, or the physical aviros, I should say, that relate to the surim, would be, for example, a person who swears with Hashem's name falsely, a person who lies, a person who speaks lashon hara, a person who eats non-kosher food, a person who murders. Again, obviously, basically just, you know, all of the averos that we do that are physical averos that we are with our guf, those are chovos ha'ivarim in the realm of averos. So again, so far we've explained the first two categories. Now, the third category is the hamutr miskalik l'shlosha chalakim, de ha-sipuk, ve-haribu ve-hakitzer. This third category are the mutter things, the things that you can do that are permissible, but they break down into three categories. So the first category is called de ha-sipuk, which is things that are sufficient. Then you have the ribui, which is things that are excessive, and kitzer are things that are lacking, that are deficient. So he explains. The de ha-sipuku, So when it comes to the things that are permissible, right, the things that are absolutely necessary for our survival, for our life, so it basically breaks down again into things that are very, very basic staples, right? Food and drink, clothing, you know, shelter, how, you know, having a house, you know, doing business. Again, things that are, you know, just things that we do on a daily basis. That's the first category of permissible activities. The hachilek hasheni shehu haribui. The second category of permissible actions is ribui, are things that are excessive. For example, v'hu avor gvul de asipuk al hatosefes asher in tzorech bala adam kimo haribui min hamachol v'hamishne uchvar hizrim imenu hachacham ba'amro al tiv v'sov v'yayim b'zol le'vasar lamo v'chein sheyaflig l'hiskashi b'malbushim u'marchiv b'mishkanim l'lo dochak u'mosrei hadvarim asher einenu voteach shelo yikashel behem kimo sheamar hachacham b'rov dvarim lo yechdal pesha v'chein amar b'rov habi'ilos v'roa zonos ya'abed hon v'amar al titin la'nashim chelecha v'amar b'melech v'lo yar b'lo nashim v'hishtadlos b'rov hakinyin v'kibot ha'mamon uvane amar al tigal ha'ashir mibinaschach adol v'amar b'melech v'chesef v'zov lo yar b'lo ma'od v'chol ma'ashe zacharnu b'tzakonis ha'gufo sohana osam m'guna v'acharonam n'shemivi ha'odam ma'ashe hizir avori meni v'asara. So basically the second category of permissible activities are things that, yes, it's technically mutter, but it's excessive and it's not appropriate. So for example, a person who overindulges and eats and drinks a lot, a person drinks a lot of alcohol, a person, let's say, wears very, you know, over the top, excessively nice, fancy clothing. Not again, just nice, like, you know, in other words, obviously looking nice and looking, you know, put together and presentable is obviously a good thing, but, you know, doing things in an excessive manner, having a gigantic house for no reason at all, you don't need all the space, but you have the house just because you want to have a humongous house. Or, like, for example, let's say a couple is married, right, and technically speaking it's obviously permissible for a couple to engage in having relations, but, you know, but to do it excessively, again, yeah, everything has to be done in moderation. This is the famous idea that the Ramban talks about right in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, of Kedoshim Tihiyu, that even within those things that are technically permissible to do, you have to do it in proportion. You have to not go crazy even within the things that are permissible. So that is the second category. Okay, and then the third category in this general category of things that are permissible, the hachilek hashlishi min hamutar hu hakitzer. Those are the things that are deficient, that are lacking. So what does that mean? V'hu shelo yagia ha'adam al-geder de ha-sipuk v'machal u'v'mishka v'malbush u'v'mishka u'v'dibur v'shena u'v'asok b'tzorchei ha'mazon v'hadom al-azeh. So this refers to people who basically hold themselves back even from very bare necessities. People who don't eat and drink very much. People who don't, you know, wear very fancy clothing. People who don't engage in having relations with their wives. People who don't speak very much, sleep very much, etc., etc. So what exactly does this refer to? So he explains, V'zeyei chalik l'shnei chalokim. Shia chasidus ol v'inyin ha'olam. U'ma sheyesh menu l'chasidus ul hiskarebo el Hashem al derech ha'prishus. Hu meshubach v'yesh olav gemol kemo shamar ha'chacham. Leiv chachamim b'veis eva v'leiv ksilim b'veis simcha. So basically, the Chovos HaLevavos says that there are two different scenarios why a person would hold themselves back from engaging in a lot of the permissible things in this world, even things that are very, very basic to this world. One reason is because imamish, that person wants to connect to Hashem. He wants to have as little to do with Olam Hazeh as possible. He really wants to feel a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a very praiseworthy, very noble thing to do. However, there could be another motivation. It's possible that the reason why a person might decide to not eat or drink or to not wear nice clothing or whatever, it's not because the person wants to connect to Hashem and wants to, you know, throw away everything in Olam Hazeh. Maybe the person has ulterior motives. Maybe the person says, you know what? I want people to think I'm this big tzaddik. I want people to, you know, to view me as a big tzaddik, a chassid. So I'm gonna act in a certain way that people think I'm a big tzaddik. That's a terrible thing to act in a way that, you know, that tricks people into thinking you're someone greater than you really are. That's very misleading. That's a terrible thing to do. And in fact, he quotes here a statement from Chazal that if a person separates themselves from the physical pleasures of Olam Hazeh just for the sake, out of love for this world, it's the equivalent of trying to extinguish a flame by throwing straw in the flame. Straw is something which catches fire even more. So if the reason why you're deciding to not engage in the basic, you know, physical necessities of this world is because you want people to think that you're greater than you are, then you're making things even worse, right? That's even worse than not engaging them at all. In fact, there is a comment, I mention this just parenthetically, there is a comment that's mentioned by the Talmud Yerushalmi that after a person dies and goes to Shemayim, Hashem takes us to task and holds us accountable for the various physical pleasures in this world that he wants us to engage in, but we didn't engage in. So, for example, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a tree that's growing with delicious fruit on it, and we say, you know what, I'm not going to eat the fruit. I'm going to hold myself back. Hashem says, why are you being, you know, firmer than I am? I told you to eat the fruit. I said the fruit is firm, obviously assuming that the fruit is mutter, that it's not, you know, that you took off Truma and Maaser, and that it's not Arla, assuming the fruit is mutter. So why wouldn't you engage in eating that, right? There's a famous line they quote often from Rav Hirsch that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Alps, right, the mountains in, the mountain range of the Alps in Europe, because he wanted people to see the beauty of this world, right? It's not... Hashem created this world so that we should be able to engage and enjoy it. And obviously, we can't do it excessively. You have to know how to balance that. But on the other hand, if you balance it in the opposite extreme, if you're too extreme in the opposite, if you say, I'm not going to engage in Olam Hazeh at all, that's also not correct, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Olam Hazeh for a reason. He wants us to engage in Olam Hazeh obviously to a certain degree. Okay, then he says, Aval hadibur v'hashena hakitzur b'hem meshubach. When it comes to things like speech and sleep, so then the less you do of it, the better. He says, "Hadibur mitnesha hashtika acharisa yoser tova k'mo shamar hakacham al tivahel al picha v'libachal yimaher lohotzi davar lefneho elokim ki ho elokim v'ashamayim v'ato alar etzakein yud v'recha me'atim." So when it comes to speech, the reason why it's a good thing to limit the amount of speech that a person has is because silence, we know, is always better, right? There are many, many statements in Chazal, in Pirkei Avos, and in various Gemaras that make this point very clearly, that it's always better to keep your words brief. Don't ramble on, don't talk a lot, because the more you talk, what often happens is that you end up saying something bad, and you end up hurting someone. You're better off just limiting the words that you say. That's in terms of speech. Aval hashena kemosha amar ma'at shenos ma'at tnumos ma'at chibok yadayim v'shkav. What's a pasuk from Mishle, that a little sleep and a little rest and basically folding your hands and going to sleep. He says that, again, basically, Shlomo HaMelech is emphasizing the fact that it's also a good idea to try and put a cap and try to limit the amount of sleep that a person has. Now, obviously, again, a person should sleep enough where they have strength to function during the day. But again, you know, most people don't have to sleep, 12 hours a night. You know, even if you've been in quarantine for the last 3 months and you have nothing else to do with your life, you know, it's not a good idea to sleep for that long. Sleep enough so that you're functional, that you can function during the day. And, Mirza Shem, when all of you have kids, you'll probably won't sleep that much. I can tell you that from experience. But, you know, for right now, so, you know, sleep enough where you're functional, where you can function at a normal rate. But, you know, don't go crazy. Don't sleep for 12 hours a night. It's not, there's no reason for it. Okay, then he says, Uchvar yispar masha zacharnu, shekol ma'asei ha'adam enam yotze mitzivu v'hazara v'dei ha'sipuk, kichol ma'ashe yotze migeder dei ha'sipuk ola ha'tosef ha'sol ha'chis haron, enenu nimla me'hasig b'tzivui, im yihye l'shem shemayim o ba'asara, im lo yihye l'shem shemayim. So he says, again, we mentioned that there were three categories of things in the Torah. There were mitzvos, averos, and things that are technically mutter, right? And he says anything which is not in the mutter category of dei ha'sipuk, of things which are bare necessities, like eating, drinking, wearing clothing, shelter, etc., then it's either going to be too much or it's going to be too little. So you have to make sure that everything that you're doing is l'shem shemayim. And when you start to look at what it, like, what are those things that act that are considered to be bare necessities? For example, like, you know, making a parnasa. For example, food. So he makes an interesting point here. He says, even the things that are bare necessities, for example, something like food, right? In other words, the idea of eating. So in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to eat food. He says, you're going to conquer the world, and you're going to plant, and you're going to have trees and vegetation and vegetables and whatever, and you're going to eat everything. So he says that even those things, even the things that we view as bare necessities to our lives to survive, in a way are also part of the tzivui. So at the end of the day, he says that really there really isn't anything which is mutter. Everything really breaks down to either a mitzvah or an avera. Now again, we usually think of certain bare necessities as being mutter. They're not, you know, neither here nor there, but the truth is that the Torah comments about them as well. He says, "V'chivon shuhuchin kfar his barer." So again, even within all of these different commandments, so if a person is able to to do these things but neglects to do them, then he's going to fall short. And if he can do more, I'm sorry, but and if he does less, then he's going to be going over the top. If a person says, I'm not going to do an avir because Hashem doesn't want me to do this, then he's going to be considered to be a tzaddik. And if a person does those things that are permissible in the right way, in moderation, right, he does everything in the proper balance, he's considered to be a tzaddik. He's considered to be someone who has kedusha. If he acts excessively, that's a problem. Again, everything we've been saying up until now, basically, everything depends on what you do, how you do it, and what your intentions are. So, in other words, everyone needs to eat and drink. Everyone needs to wear clothes. Everyone needs a house. But the question is, how do you look at that? How do you approach that? Do you go way over the top? Are you excessive with everything that you do? Or is everything more in moderation? So it really all depends on your perspective. Says basically every person's actions break down, right, to good and bad, and a person who is smart, who's intelligent, will weigh his actions and figure out what he should and what he should not do. Everything that a person does, he breaks down into either being something which is good or bad. Like we said, everything that you do is either a mitzvah or an avera. Therefore, he says that there, because the Torah is broken down into words and different ideas, different individuals, so everything is categorized into 10 different categories. So first, you have people who learn Chumash, who learn Tanakh. These people, they can just learn in a very basic fashion, a very basic way, without understanding anything beyond the Pashup Shad. So these people, he equates them to like a donkey carrying books, meaning they can like repeat the psukim that they read, but they don't really understand it. They don't understand how Tanakh works. They don't understand how learning works. It's a very, very basic way to learn Chumash, for example. The Hashin is the second category of people. Are Anashim Bikshu Levarer Kriyasam Lishmur Atnuos, the Samurov Hishtadu Sambi Adias Mekomos and Nikud, Vimbali Hanikud, Bahamasoris. You have those people who are very into the trup, very into the dictum. They want to know how words are punctuated. They want to know how different words are supposed to sound. They want to know how to pronounce them correctly, where the emphasis is supposed to go, that kind of thing. Bahashlish is the third type of person. Anashim ro chesro misha kadem zichrom, are those people who see the lacking, the insufficiencies of the other, the first two categories, right? They want to understand all of the different nuances and the different principles of the trup and of the nekudos. And they have all these different insights that they want to acquire, they want to understand knowledge and the nuances of grammar, of the nouns, of the verbs. These are very subtle nuances when it comes to dictok and trup, you know, understanding, you know, verbs and nouns and understanding, you know, when you have a shva that's a shva na versus a shva nach, when it makes a sound, when it ends a syllable, how you know when a word should be male versus chaser, if it's closed or open. Again, very, very slight nuances when it comes to Hebrew grammar. V'harivias, the fourth category, anashim shehosifu al ma shehigdamnu zichram, v'firush amilos amisupakos b'sifrei hakodesh, v'hanira men apshad, v'chakru imzal yediyas ha'over lo hamiti b'lashon ha'ivris, this fourth category of people, they're even more advanced than the previous categories. They want to be able to explain words and explain the etymology of where words come from and how what they mean and how they fit into the context of the psukim. The Hachamishis in the fifth category are Anashim Shahusifu Amashek Damu Zichram, Vidas Indine Sifra Kodeshu Lahavin Sharashav, Vilach Koral Hover Vilamiti Me and Yanov, Kagashmas and Iskarisbo, Vimhamifarshim Sefer Halukim Kaner Menavin Somkanala Kabbalah. These are people who want to understand Tanakh. They want to delve into the Psukim. They want to understand where things come from. They want to understand the different expressions that are mentioned in Tanakh. They're not just relying on their Mesorah. They want to do all the work on their own. The Hashishis, the sixth category, are Anashim Samchu al Kabbalah Sakadmonim Shia Mishnah, Vigilik Tzas Chiyuvi HaTorah Samitzos HaDinah Mibli'in B'Talmud. These people rely on their tradition to follow the Torah and the mitzvos that have been passed down and transmitted to them. The Hashviyas, the seventh category, are Anashim Shehosifu al Komash HaZachainu V'Iyon HaTalmud V'Hishtadu V'Girsasu Kriyas Lchosav Mibli Parik Koshiosav Upsoach Stumo. So people who start to learn Gemara, start to learn Mishnah and Gemara, but they don't start to answer up any of the questions that they have. The Hashminis and the eighth category of people are Anashim lo hispik lohem echachmas haTorah ma shehispik lemisha kadem zichro, ad shehitrichu esatim lohavin divrei anshei haTalmud, ulahatir sveikosav, v'leftoach stumosav, liknos bazeh she'ashem b'hatiferes. They want to really delve into the Gemara to such a degree where they start to get a better grasp of the Gemara. They really start to understand what's going on. Basically, these people don't think about how their learning relates to their lives. And we're actually going to hopefully talk about this point in a few minutes when we get to the parsha part in a second, or the Dvar Torah for Shavuos. But these people don't internalize, they don't think about how their learning relates to their lives. So they learn all day, they're learning Gemara, they're learning Mishnah, they're learning Tanakh, and they're really, really learning a lot, and they're thinking about it. But the problem is that there's this disconnect between their learning and between how that affects their actual lives, between how that affects their daily lives. V'hachias, the ninth category of people, are anashim shehivinu nafshosam ladas chovos halavavos v'ivarim u'masidi hamaseh, v'hivinu pshat divrei hakodesh u'matzmunei inyano, v'amdu al amitas hakabbalah min hakasav v'hamuskov v'sidru hadinah, v'chilku chovos hamaseh k'fi haroi l'inyei kol zman v'hizchalkos dinei chol makom, akar shehivinu shor shi sefer haTorah v'niz haruvam, v'hisiru aleihem im hafakas ha'emes paseisiru v'galui, u'netosem ha'emes pa'asher hu noteh, im bali ha'gamara v'agaonim ha'noagim min hagem acher. The ninth category are people who actually try to internalize what they learn, who try to take everything they learn and apply it to their lives and use that to make them better people. And then finally, the Ha'asir is the tenth category, are Anashim Sheyarshu Chachmas HaTorah MeHanavim, people who have inherited the wisdom of Torah from the Nevi'im, V'chol Perusha V'soldo Shar Hashem, with all of the nuances, V'im Anshe Knesset HaGedola U'mishakiba Mehem Ben HaTanayim V'im Bali HaMishnayas HaBraisos K'moshe Nisker Ben Mesachas Avos Moshakibo Torah MeSinai M'saru Lihoshua V'yoshua L'zakenim M'zakenim L'Nevi'im U'Nevi'im M'saru L'Anshe Knesset HaGedola. Right, this is the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, as we know, right, about the Mesorah, the tradition of the Torah. V'anshei Knesset HaGadol L'Shimon HaTzadik, V'Shimon HaTzadik L'Antoninus, L'Antigonos, L'Antigonos L'Yosi Ben Yehuzer, L'Yosi Ben Yochanan, Yishru Shalayim, V'Heim Esarul Yehoshua Ben Prachia, V'Nitai Har Beili, V'Heim Esarul Yehud Ben Tabai, L'Shimon Ben Shetach, V'Heim Esarul Shemai Batalia. These are just the names of the different Tanoim who ended up receiving the Torah, who may hamle Shammai v'Hillel, who may hamle Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Esanel, who may hamle Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, may hamle Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Asher Kibitz, in the Hamishon of the Sidra, Mechilkom Lefrakim, V'Chibram, who Iker Kol HaKabbalah, Shesomchem Allah Besorah Sinu. So the end of the day, all this Mesorah, all this tradition ends with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is the one who compiles and puts together Mishnayos, and he is the one who essentially is the torch, the person who carries on the traditions of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So therefore, he says that's how this tradition, that's how this Mesorah ultimately concludes, is with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Okay.